All boats are aligned. Attention.
Welcome back to the Wayne F. Rowing Podcast. We're your hosts and masters of ceremony, the short and snarky coxswains. I am Sam, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kate.
Hey, Sam. Well, welcome. We've had a great episode today. And I will mention we are getting into spring racing season. Now is the time. If you do not have a copy of the Short and Snarky Guide to Coxing and Rowing, you can pick one up on Amazon.
Amazon.com.
Yeah. And if you're not following us already on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, we are at Short and Snarky Rowing and Short and Snarky. So look for us, and we'd love to have you following us.
Absolutely. We are not going to do a news story today because we have an awesome guest with us. We have Mason Cox. He is the assistant director of the head of the Charles Regatta. I'm sure you guys have all heard of that. So if you guys will just give us one brief moment, we'll bring Mason on the phone. Hi, Mason.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being on. We really do appreciate your time. We are not worthy. We are not worthy.
So you probably have, Mason, one of the coolest jobs in all of rowing. We would love to hear about your rowing background and how you got your current gig.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun story, actually. I went to Bates College, and I ended up working for the head of the Charles through a Bates College connection. When I was a freshman, there was a woman, Elizabeth Diamond, who graduated in 2004. In 2007, after I graduated, I ended up and came and interned for her in the office. I came in the second week of September, 6 weeks out from the regatta, and over my head, and was there for 8 total weeks. And then I came back the next summer, actually, in 2008, and was the summer intern and the fall intern. And 2008 was also the year that the economy collapsed. And one of the first things that, marketing budgets, they don't sponsor events. So the gentleman that had my job at the time, he decided to leave after the 2008 regatta.
Oh, wow.
And so I came in on an interim basis as the assistant director then, and I've been there ever since, actually. So.
Oh, wow. Well, that's awesome. That's a really great story.
Yeah, success from intern to running the thing. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I know. It was fun for, I think it was 5 years. Elizabeth and I were both there, so it was kind of Bates College was running the head of the role. So
yeah,
it was really fun.
Bates College takeover from rags to riches. I love it. That's exciting. So just a couple of questions here. How many volunteers do you guys usually get for the head of the Charles Regatta?
It's incredible. There's probably about 2,000 total volunteers that come through the weekend. So, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And one of the craziest things about it is that the demand is so high that people want to volunteer so much that I think the acceptance rate is something, it's in the 20% range, I think. It's just so many people come from, across the country every single year and have been doing it forever. And that's really one of the reasons the regatta is so successful in its operations, is that the volunteers are the front line, and they're so experienced with it. It's not the majority of volunteers have been doing it for years and years.
Yeah, and volunteers at regattas are so helpful. Especially when they know what they're doing. Especially when they know what they're doing. So you kind of get those unicorns that stick around for a couple of years, and you're like, stay with us.
Exactly. And the way the head of the Charles organization breaks down is that we have a board of directors of 15 people, and they supervise the office staff that is now, there's 5 of us. So there's Fred Schock, who's the executive director. There's myself, the assistant director, and then Brendan Mulvey is the director of operations. We have two assistants that help us out and a part-time CFO.
Okay.
And so the office staff, it's very small paid staff year-round, surprisingly. The rest of the organization is entirely volunteer. And so we meet with the group you know, year round, there's a group of 12 people that we call the race committee.
Okay.
And we meet with them every single month. And those 12 people oversee a group that we refer to as the race operations group. And it's about 120 people now.
Oh, wow.
And those people are the ones that there are 30 different committees. So it ranges from, you know, emergency services to river control to kind of dock logistics, timing, awards, registration. So there's a ton of committees, and those 120 people oversee the 2,000 people during the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's of that group of 120 people, they're the gentleman that's run the start line. His name's John Romaine. He's been doing it for 35-plus years, probably.
Oh, wow. Like,
there's so much institutional knowledge in all these groups that there's, you know, of those 120, it's, you know, the majority have been doing it, you know, 15-plus years.
Yeah, they're
that's
lifers. Great.
So that's why, you know, we always talk about how the regatta time, like, it's the one regatta that's actually on time. Like, show up the start line and your race is actually going, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like clockwork. I mean, I can probably count on one hand the number of regattas that really do run, like, I mean, completely efficiently on time. And Head of the Charles is certainly one that's got that reputation. So Mason, one of the questions I have is what would people be most surprised by about how you guys pull off the Head of the Charles? Is there any kind of behind the scenes magic that we don't know about that makes it all work?
I think it's really the volunteer group. I mean, as a competitor, I had no idea that there was so much basically behind the scenes. If you told me there were, you know, 30 different committees, all with big teams, like the, you know, registration team has, you know, 50 volunteers that help everybody get through the registration process, and just like the awards group, or, you know, the volunteer, like, we have give out 2,600 lunches to the volunteers during the weekend, just all these like little intricacies that I had no idea, and how much time all of the volunteers put into the regatta is simply amazing, because it's not something that can just, they can show up for the weekend and, you know, get things done. It's really, everyone's thinking about it, you know, year-round to make it go really smoothly.
Yeah, it's not something that some high school kid can be like, oh, I'm going to get some community service and, you know, volunteer.
Those are mostly our regatta volunteers.
Yeah, ours are mostly like the junior's parents just signed up and they're like, I don't know, I'm here to support my kid. I don't know what any of this is. What's a bow ball? Yeah. We appreciate you all volunteers in Tempe. I'm sorry.
So what, one of the, you know, one of, this is one of those races that people from all over the world come to race at Head of the Charles. And this race is what, is it 35 years old? What's the?
This is a regatta 52.
52, sorry, 50. Yes, okay, so that's right. So what do you think is that special thing that makes the Charles so unique that people from all over the world want to come and race?
My boss Fred calls it the Super Bowl of rowing. You know, the can't miss event. You know, not just the fall season. It's just kind of a destination event. It's just so exciting. I mean, I was a coxswain in high school and college.
Oh.
Just driving down the race course is, you know, phenomenal. It's such a, you know, the double kind of S hooks and going through the bridges is, the course itself is amazing. And then adding in the fact that the sheer number of spectators that are able to attend the event is amazing for the race and amazing for rowing. There's, you know, no other event other than the boat race occurring tomorrow that kind of is able to attract such a great audience. And I think it's, you know, just being able to go down that course is just a, you know, experience that every rower should have the opportunity to do.
I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, I always call the Charles the, you know, and especially the Head of the Charles Regatta, like the Mecca. That's where, you know, everybody wants to go. That's, you know, you face the East and you pray that maybe you get there.
Yeah, and you run the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things about, and I've probably coxed the Charles, oh, probably 7 or 8 times now, and I think the best thing about it is it can be very unpredictable, but it really, as a coxswain, it is the biggest thing you can do in front of a huge audience. If people, you screw up and people are going to see it. And if you pass somebody on a turn or you steer a really good course through a bridge, people appreciate it. And it's probably the only time you're going to get that kind of validation. So that's really fun.
Exactly.
Okay, so that being said, now that we're talking about, you know, the fame that you can have by being on, you know, rowing on that course or coxing on that course, I know you guys have those wonderful videos after each ahead of the Charles where it's like all the crashes or something. What are some of the craziest things that you've seen on the race course?
Well, the last time, or my last collegiate race at the head of the Charles, was the year that the Chinese 8 sank in the crew. So they collided coming out of Weeks Foot Bridge and snapped part of the bow off. But they were able to proceed all the way until they got directly under Elliott Bridge. And that's when it finally, there enough water had entered through the bow that they became submerged. And then the crew abandoned ship and kind of swam over to Cambridge Boat Club in BB&N school, and it was pretty startling images.
Yeah, those pictures was okay, of them standing in the boat, and then right next to Elliot with the huge crowd, and they're just standing there waiting to be rescued is pretty stark.
But one of the other than that, the kind of I think it was 2 years ago, maybe three now, but right after Elliott Bridge during the Director's Quad event, I was taking photos, and Frank Biller, the UVA coach, he had broken his oar under Elliott, so he jumped out of the quad. And captured some amazing images of that. If you search the Frank Biller experience on Google, you'll be able to find it. It's pretty great.
We'll definitely check that out. And I know you said that you are also a photographer, so do you take a lot of the regatta photos for the HOCR?
I do take a lot of photos for the event, and that's actually how I really got into taking photos, is that just, you know, talking to people. Primary role of my job is to solicit sponsorship for the event and just trying to find, you know, photos of the crowd or photos of the rowing, and just really that's how I started taking photos, and then it's really just kind of become a side passion project. So I end up taking a lot of photos.
That's cool. That's an awesome thing to do to, you know, pass the time, and plus you get to see really cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorites, I was fortunate, last year I was able to go to NCAA's and photograph the racing up there, and so having Bates capture their first NCAA championship was amazing to be there and take photos, and so really fun time.
That's really fun.
Yeah, and that's such a great, Lake Natoma is such a great venue, too. You're kind of close to Rhine, but it just looks so different than the East. So you coxed in high school, in college, and, you know, you've been involved in rowing for a long time. We always like to ask our guests any good embarrassing stories, either you or anyone else. You don't have to name any names, but we'd love to hear some really funny, embarrassing rowing story.
It's definitely rowing related. It was my intern year in 2007 for the head of the Charles. I was very, very young. I hadn't been in Boston very long. Didn't really know my way around. We usually have a good amount of international competitors come in to race ahead of the Charles. Mm-hmm. And a group came in a couple of days earlier than we'd anticipated, so we had to put them up in a hotel that was a little bit outside the city, an area I wasn't familiar with. Mm-hmm. So I had to go to the airport, and I was picking up Mahe Drysdale, Emma Twigg, and Nathan Cohen. I was like super nervous. I was like in like, you know, celebrity status meeting, and I got completely lost. Ridiculously lost trying to find their hotel. Like GPS took me a total wrong way. It wasn't working. We were probably lost for like, you know, half hour, 40 minutes, and there's kind of like being really, really polite Kiwis, but I was horrifically embarrassed. Like
that 30 minutes feels
doesn't
like
fit my car very well. Like 6'7", and you know, they'd just gotten off a flight from New Zealand, so I was horrifically embarrassed. And then, you know, Ma ended up coming in second place by, you know, about a half a second. So I've always felt slightly guilty that
No, and you know that thirty minutes feels like 3 hours, where you're like, oh yeah, I just decided to take you on the scenic road. Have you ever been to Boston? Yeah, that's so funny. Do you have a favorite Head of the Charles Regatta memory? I know you have so many.
But favorite head of the Charles one. I would say, so in 2009 was definitely one of the most unique years I've experienced. Going into that year, it was anticipated by the forecast that it was going to be both days were going to be full rain. So that was pretty nerve-wracking. And, you know, thanks to the rowing gods, Saturday was a beautiful, sunny day, super crowded. It was great. And then Sunday is when it got cold and raw. And then Sunday afternoon is when it turned into a snowstorm. And it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. The snowflakes were probably the size of silver dollars.
Oh, wow.
And it was right during the Championship 8 events. And that was the first year that we had brought in the Great 8s. So all the scholars, the men to women. And that was the year like they broke the fin. And so the coxswain was steering with her hand. The imagery was amazing.
Wow, so that's amazing.
Never wished that rain and snow ever again, but it was definitely most memorable.
Yeah, that I remember that year I was there, and that was a crazy day. It's a crazy couple of days. Fall in New England, you never know what you're going to get.
And then another question that we definitely like to ask our guests is, do you still have all of your medals? And if so, where do you keep them?
During my rowing tenure, didn't rack up too many medals, unfortunately. I think I've got a Heart of the Texas medal from my high school days. But I'd say probably my most prized possession are the many Colby College T-shirts that I still have. And they're, you know, give me the rags for my dog, I think, so.
Yeah. So do you still have those T-shirts then?
Yes, keep them very safe and
well, yeah, that's
very proud of those shirts.
Yeah, that's because that's from that old tradition, right, where you swap T-shirts. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's like you're holding someone's ego, in your possession,
and a rivalry too.
Yeah,
so
that's nice.
Exactly,
you're holding the enemy's shirt.
Yeah, gotta hang on to those.
Well, thank you so much, Mason, for your time today. I know you're probably up to your ears planning all of the, you know, HOCR 2016. Do you have any exciting things for this year that's coming up, or not so much?
We got some really exciting things. We've just been the new Brooks Brothers volunteer item is going to be pretty sensational this year. So recommend volunteering. It's going to be the best item yet.
What's the secret if you want to get a volunteer slot for HSCR? How would you go about doing that?
Oh yeah.
What's the secret?
The 30 different committees are run by that group of 120.
Mm-hmm.
And registration typically opens up in, I think August 1st is the standard opening day. So that's the time to look to reach out. There'll be announcements on the HOCR.org website too.
Okay, cool. So that's exciting. So we'll look out for the Brooks Brothers.
Really cool.
Yeah, we'll look out for that.
Yeah, and
for this year.
New Balance is working on two pairs of new shoes this year that are also going to be the must-have shoes. They're going to be really good. They've been getting a lot of, they're going to be great.
Yeah, it looks like me and Kate are going to have to get some.
We might need to volunteer this year.
Yeah, we're going to have to get some of them shoes, though. Yeah, so, well, thank you so much for your time. We know that, you're super busy, but we really appreciate you talking to us today.
Thanks, Mason.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that was Mason Cox, the assistant director of Head of the Charles Regatta.
That was so cool. I loved hearing all the stuff that goes behind the scenes at the regatta. I loved hearing about how many volunteers. I can't believe they have over 2,000 volunteers.
I think we need to get on the list for this
year.
Yeah,
we absolutely do. And I think that we just kind of threw our hat in the ring
by interviewing
him. I think that we kind of are guaranteed a spot there.
Hope so.
So if you guys are looking to volunteer at the head of the Charles Regatta, stay away from the Brooks Brothers and the New Balance tent because we're going to be volunteering there. I'm just kidding. No, please go check it out. If you guys want to volunteer, if you can make it out there, if you're competing, Head of the Charles, it really is like the Super Bowl of rowing, and it's amazing. And
yeah, August 1st, I'm going to be online.
Oh yeah,
trying to get a slot.
I'm going to be on HOCR.org, and I'm going to be trying to get a slot, volunteering, and I'll be competing against all of you guys, I guess.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thanks for joining us today. If you are not already following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we're at Short and Snarky Rowing. And if you haven't already picked up your copy of the Short and Snarky Guide to Coxing and Rowing on Amazon, now is the time. Buy one for your coxswain, buy one for your coach. If you are a coach looking to get through to your coxswains this spring season, this is a great thing to get them.
I think we even have some stuff about the head of the Charles in the book, right?
I think we do. I think we have some pictures in there.
I think we do have some pictures in there. And if you like us, if you like our podcast, please keep listening. Please subscribe. Tell all your other rowing friends or your coach, or maybe you guys can, have like little listening parties or whatever. Subscribe, rate, review, and send us an email with funny stories, topics, if you have like somebody who would be a great guest, or maybe you want to go over a topic like at your team meeting or something. shortandsnarkyrowing@gmail.com, and we will see you on the water.
Last two strokes. That's one, two. Way enough. Let it run. Blades down.